sad time. For me, I have some joy because when the first freeze hits and knocks out the stuff that stuffs me up, I will be relieved. But in the meantime, what a lovely day, huh? And great to hear the music today. Thank you so much for visiting with us today. Awesome. And thanks so much for the children's message and the prayer. And, oh, that's right. We still have a sermon. So I'm launching a new series, and we're doing Heroes of the Old Testament. And so before we do that, I invite you to pray with me. Good and gracious and eternal God, we give you thanks for all your good gifts, but especially now the gift of your word. May it be for us once again a living word, because it lives in and through our lives. Now, in 1977, there was a movie that drew huge attraction, multi-million numbers of audience, and set in place a saga that continues to grow and expand even to this day, and that is, of course, Star Wars. Star Wars is a classic confrontational tale, a battle between good and evil. It sets a stage with a large, looming, deep-voiced character of Darth Vader. And to countermand him is a hero. Young, handsome, confident, Luke Skywalker. The stakes are the end of the rebellion and the tyranny of the Empire. The battle is drawn and begins to take place, and as the starfighters attempt to be able to ward off the Empire, who's discovered where they're located and look to destroy them, they're down to their last starfighter, and that, of course, is Luke. So Luke, on his own, last chance to be able to defeat the enemy. One way to be able to do it, a slight point of vulnerability to be able to penetrate. The odds, even R2-D2 can't calculate. They are so infinitesimal. And of course, to top it all off, the computer screen goes blank, so he's flying blind by his courage and his cunning and the Force. And he finds the spot, and he injects the missile, and blows up the starship, and saves the rebel forces, who then celebrate the victory. Epic tale. Well, in the year about 1000 BC, there was another epic tale, a young hero that rose on the plain of Israel. His name was David. And he was to fight a giant of a man, Goliath, who was the general of the Philistines, who had come over, landed on the beachhead, and located themselves about 18 miles southwest of the capital city, which is Jerusalem. The only thing that kept them from going into Jerusalem and taking over the capital and defeating the Israelites was Saul and his armies scattered there. Now, before we get to our scripture, a little bit of background so you get the background to the story. For 40 days, Goliath has been bellowing to the Israelite army to send their champion so they can fight one-on-one. I discovered that that was not an unusual occurrence in that era. that rather than dispense whole armies and massive slaughter, they would have the champion of one army face the champ of the other and winner take all, if you will. And so that was what Goliath was offering. And for 40 days, he bellowed, and for 40 days, the response on the other side from the Israelite army was crickets. Fear, panic, dread, indecision reigned the ranks. In the midst of this, David's father sent him on a mission with a care package, food to take to his three oldest brothers who are part of the army of the Israelites. And when he got there, he heard Goliath issuing again his challenge for someone to come fight him. And with no hesitation, David says, "Any of you? No takers?" He went to Saul and he said, "I'll fight him." And rather than be surrounded with affirmation, he was surrounded with taunts and jeers. "You're just a kid. What are you doing? You can't do this. You got no experience." First slide. Well, what David said was overheard and reported back to Saul, the king, and Saul sent for him. Next. So David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go, and I'll fight him." Next. Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're just a kid. And he's been a warrior from his youth. His experience, his massive size, and his track record dwarfs yours. Get real. You can't do this." Next slide. But David said to Saul, "There's something you don't know. Actually, there's a lot you don't know. Your servant's been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and carried the sheep off from the flock," next slide, "I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, I struck it, and I killed it." Lions, no tigers, but bears, oh my, and faced them all and won. "I think I might be more up for the task than what you give me credit for." Next slide. "So your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, this one who doesn't follow God, will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. He can't get away with this." Next slide. "Well, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, that Lord will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul thought for a bit. There's nobody else willing to take this on. I got one option. So I'll cast my lot with you. And realize by doing that, if David is defeated, the whole army is defeated and the nation goes down. He backed the boy. But what are you going to do? Nobody else stood up, right? Next slide. I love this part. "So Saul then dressed David up in his own tunic. He put his coat of armor on his helmet, put the bronze helmet on his head. He put all the stuff on him that you would go to fight." Here's what it reminded me of when I was a kid And the first snowfall came. And so my mom put me in my new snowsuit. But my mom and dad always bought the snowsuit so it only fit in the middle year. It was too big in the first year and too small in the third year, but it was just right in the middle year, and this was the first year. So I get the snowsuit on, I go out to play, and I trip, and I fall, and I can't get up. And I can't, and I'm always pulling the sleeves up to try to make a snowman. It was too big. It didn't work. That was David. It was too big, too bulky. It just didn't work. Next slide. And David fastened his sword over the tunic, and he tried walking around him because he wasn't used to it. He said, I can't go in these because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Now, a little side note. You see, everybody was thinking the only way to fight the Philistine was the way you always would fight a Philistine who was in the who was a foot soldier. And that is, you would strap on your armor and you would go hand to hand. So that's what Saul thought, so he prepared David to fight that way. All right? Next slide. Instead, he took a staff in his hand. And he chose 5 small, smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. This is huge. He didn't fight the Philistine on the Philistine's terms. He fought the Philistine on his terms. How did he defeat the bear and the lion and all that and drive animals off? He was what the ancients would call a slinger. I like that term. You put a rock in the pouch, you'd rotate over your head until you got to a place where the rotation and release would shoot that rock off at about 35 kilometers per second, which translated to be about 76 miles an hour. Now, you have somebody throw a rock at you and hit you with a rock at 76 miles an hour, you're going down. So he didn't fight him like a foot soldier. He's going to fight him like a slinger. Stick a pin in that, all right? Next slide. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him. Well, that's odd. This is this big, burly, strong guy, and he's got a shield bearer holding his shield, walking in front of him. Why? We'll get there. Kept him from coming closer to David. Next slide. He looked David over and he saw there was little more than a boy, probably somewhere in his early teens, 13 to 15, okay? Kind of early, late middle school, early high school age. Glowing with health and handsome. Let me translate that. Everything that Goliath was not, who is big, ugly, and smelly. And he despised him. Why? Because he was jealous of him. David had what Goliath didn't. Next slide. So he said to David, I'm a dog that you come to me with sticks. Now, David didn't have sticks, plural. David had a stick, a staff. So what's going on? Why is he talking about sticks? Malcolm Gladwell, one of the authors I enjoy, wrote a book entitled David and Goliath, and he speculates, and I think with good reason, that Goliath was suffering from a condition called acromegaly. I think I'm close. And basically, it was a benign tumor that grew onto the pituitary gland. The pituitary gland, for all of you endocrinologists, is a gland that then produces what helps you grow. So if that continues to press on that, you just keep growing and growing and growing. The case of the largest human ever was 8 foot 11 inches tall, had this condition, and was still growing at the time that he died. So not only do you grow massive and tall, It also presses on your brain, so it's hard to process information. And particularly, it presses against the optic nerve that causes you to often have blurriness and double vision. So, why is it then that he's saying, come to me? And why are you coming with the sticks? Because he is awkward, he is blurry vision, he's seeing double, and the only way he can fight you is if you get in close so that he can really see you. Come to me. Next slide. Come here. I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. I'll feed you to the vultures and the jackals. Next slide. And David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin. You got all kinds of fancy tools and equipment. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. And when you act in the name of God, you're acting in the presence, with the purpose, and in the power of God. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Next slide. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day, I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. I'm going to whoop you for good. Next slide. Now, all those gathered here will know that it is not by my sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. This is God's doing. Next slide. And as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, I picture him lumbering. You're that big, you ain't sprinting unless you're the center field for the Yankees, Judge, who's 6'7 and 280 and plays center field. That's still an anomaly I can't wrap my head around. But I picture him lumbering, trying to get close so he can beat the tar out of him. And David doesn't flee. David ran quickly toward him. He's running, and while he's running, next slide. He reaches in the bag and takes out a stone as he's going and puts in his sling. And as he's going, he's whipping it around his head like he's done thousands and thousands and thousands of times. This is no accident. This is a developed skill that David used as his strategy to fight Goliath. And when he got within range, about 35 meters, he let her fly, and oh my, a major league pitcher would have been proud of the placement of that stone, because it hit the only vulnerable spot he had, was smack dab right in the forehead, buried that thing in there, dropped him to the ground, and he's done. Next slide. I think that's it. So what does that have to do with us? I mean, it's a great story. Amen? I mean, pretty amazing. So what does that have to do with us? I don't know about you, but I got some giants in my life. I got some stuff bigger than what I think I can handle. And some of those are inside me, and some of those are outside of me. And this story reminds me of two things. First of all, not if but when you face your giant, don't fight the giant on its own terms. Fight the giant on your terms, or better, fight the giant on God's terms. Second, like David, use what you have to defeat the giant. Don't borrow somebody else's stuff to be able to pull this off. Lean into your own strengths and gifts and abilities to face your giant. Now, sometimes those giants are in us, and they are just as large and looming and difficult as the kind of giants that you can see outside. But let me remind you that all of those giants can be defeated with God. I mean, you have the giant of fear. And I recall the scripture, or the giant of guilt. And I recall the scripture that says, as far as east is from west, so will your sins be taken from you. It's like E.J. Hoback, a linebacker several years ago that played for Texas Tech, and a Texas sports writer described that he hit so hard that he made a distinctive sound that I would recognize with my eyes closed. He said, when Hoback hit you, it was like a case of curtain rods falling three stories and hitting flat on the sidewalk. Bam! Crash! So when the giant of guilt comes and you lean into forgiveness, bam, crash, that giant goes down. When the giant of fear happens and you recall that I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me, bam, crash, that giant goes down. When you're overwhelmed with despair, you hear God remind you, fear not, for I have overcome the world. Bam! Smash! That giant goes down. Now, granted, David's weapon was a sling. I'm not good at this kind of slingshot. I'm not even good at this kind of slingshot. But that's not the weapon that we're given. We're given two things to be able to deal with our giants. We're given scripture, and we're given prayer, which builds our faith to be able to take on a giant. Even a giant being taken on by a boy, because make no mistake, everybody faces giants. People 73, 83, 93, people 43, 33, 23, 13. I love the fact that it's David who faces a giant in his early teens, because it reminds us that even those who are younger can face and can defeat giants if we first defeat the giant that keeps us from acting, and then we act with a sense of faith and commitment. That was a story of the Blanket Boy, as he was dubbed, in Philadelphia, who saw some homeless people that needed blankets, and it was cold, and he said, where are their blankets? And he said, son, he doesn't have any. He said, that's not right. So he took all of his savings and bought blankets at the Goodwill and took it down to the downtown to pass them out to folks who didn't have blankets. And he rallied and he continued to raise funds so that any person that was homeless that was seen in Philadelphia had a blanket. That's a giant. If you're on the streets at night and it's cold, that's a giant. Amen? And with faith, you can face and defeat that giant. A little boy or teen boy saw that there was no books available. He lived in a poor area of West Virginia, and there wasn't any kind of public library. And so he began to gather up books. He started his own library. He raised funds and asked people to donate books to be able to have kids be able to read, which spurned adults to begin to provide tutoring so kids could learn how to read, all because one boy saw a giant of illiteracy and refused to accept that as the last word. Instead, he had faith and took action. I don't know what giant God's calling you to deal with. I know what God's calling me to deal with. Whatever it is, we can dare to face those giants. We can dare respond to the call. We can dare to make a difference, just the same way that David did. May God give us the faith and the vision and the courage to face our giants in faith and make the difference God calls us to make. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the God who has called you and claimed you, gifted you and graced you to make a difference in the lives of people, be the God that grants you the presence of His Spirit to see and defeat any giant that stands in the way of what God calls you to do this day and every day to come. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, Amen.